Exodus chapter number 5. And I'm going to try. I'm going to try now to get through chapter 6 tonight. I'm trying to do 2 chapters. I'm going to try. And I'm going to try to do as quick as I can. So we'll see how that works out. If it looks like I ain't going to make it, I'll stick with one. But I'm... These are kind of big patches that kind of go together. It's God's conversation with Moses here in these 2 chapters, and so a great deal of the verses are kind of each one talking or responding to each other, and so that's the reason I want to try to cover both of them. Here in chapter 5. God has sent Moses. Moses and his family have come into Egypt with Aaron. They've presented themselves to the nation of Israel, to the elders, and they believed them. Okay, this is what God said to do. It's what we'll go do. We'll go before Pharaoh with you. And here in chapter 5 is them going this initial time to come before Pharaoh. And it's going to cause them some trouble when they go. And chapter 6 is, end of chapter 5 and chapter 6 is Moses saying, Lord, what's going on? Why, you know, he's kind of addressing what takes place here in the first part of chapter 5. And so he begins in verse number 1, says, afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And so here Moses tells him exactly what God had told him to tell him. And God had already told Moses, when you go, the people of Israel, they're going to hear you, they're going to believe. But when you go to Pharaoh, I'm going to harden his heart and he's not going to believe. And because he's not going to believe you, there's going to be some things that's going to come against them here. But the Lord says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. And when I get done, he's going to be running you all out of Egypt. And they're going to bless you when you leave Egypt. And it's going to look like you robbed the place. You're going to go away with so much of Egyptian stuff because they want you out of the land so badly. But at this point here, Pharaoh's heart is hardened, and he declares, who is the Lord? He said there in verse 2. Who's the Lord that I should obey? I don't know who he is. Why should I listen to what he says? Now, whether or not he knew about the Lord or not, whether he just considered him the gods of the Israelites, or the God of the Israelites, just like the gods of the Egyptians, I don't know what Pharaoh knew and what he didn't know, but I assure you Pharaoh's going to find out. And he's going to know very quickly who God is. And so it says in verse number 3, verse 2 again, he says, I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, verse number 3, this is at Moses and Aaron and the elders of Israel here before Pharaoh, the God of the Hebrews met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the swords. God told us to go. We don't want to be punished by God. So let us go and do what God has told us to do. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens. And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land how now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens. He said, what? Y'all just a bunch of lazy folks. You're just trying to get out of work is what you're doing. You come in here and try to get the people out of work. You're trying to get them out of their labors. And listen, we've got stuff to do. We've got things to build. They need to be making me bricks. And here you all in here messing around. You need to be out there working. Get back out there working. You're just a bunch of lazy bums trying to get out of work. This is Pharaoh's answer to them here. Verse 6, Pharaoh commanded the same day. Now this is after he sent them back out. The same day Pharaoh called the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, "Ye shall no more give the people straw for brick. As heretofore, let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tail of the bricks which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle." Therefore they cry, saying, "Let us go and sacrifice to our God." So he calls the taskmasters in and he says, "Listen, from now on, you're not going to give those Jews, you're not going to give the Israelites, you're not going to give them any straw. You're going to make them go and make the same amount of bricks, except now they're going to have to go find the straw for themselves. They're going to have to go glean it themselves, and they're going to make the same tail of bricks. We're not going to diminish it one single brick. They're going to have to go find their own straw to do it. And straw is absolutely necessary for the brick to hold together. Without the straw, you'd just have a mud cake is really all you'd have, and it would fall apart eventually. It would crumble. It's the straw that held it together. It was the fiber that was within the brick that held the brick together. And so the straw was absolutely necessary. But now Pharaoh says, "I'm not giving it to you anymore. You have to go get it yourself." So this is an extra step that they had to take, an extra hard step that they had to take in order for the making of the bricks. And yet he would not diminish the amount of the bricks that they had to make. They had to make the same amount that they were making before, except now they had to collect the materials themselves. And so he says, verse number 9, "Let there more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words." Moses and Aaron just come in lying is all they're doing. You get them back to work, you don't let them listen to what they're saying. You don't let them listen to the lies that they're bringing. And so verse number 10, he says, verse 10 down through verse 14, "And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get you straw where you can find it, yet not aught of your work shall be diminished." So the people were scattered abroad. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw, and the taskmasters hasted them, saying, "Fulfill your works, your daily task, as when there was straw." And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, "Wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday, today, and heretofore?" Well, people weren't able to do it. They weren't able to keep up with the amount of bricks that they were supposed to be made, and so the total tally of the bricks fell off. They were not able to get it all done. And so there was the taskmasters had set particular Jews up over the Jews as foremen, and they come to those foremen and said, "Why have you not done what you're supposed to do?" And they beat the foreman because they weren't getting enough bricks made. And so it says there, verse number 15, "Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, Wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There's no straw given unto thy servants. And they say to us, Make brick, and behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people." So these foremen, they come to Pharaoh and they say, "Hey, look here, our brick numbers fell off because we have to go find our own straw, and the reason we have to go find our own straw is the taskmasters are not giving us straw." So apparently there was no relay from the taskmasters when they said, "We're not giving you straw anymore, go find your own." They didn't know that command had come from Pharaoh, apparently. These foremen, they just heard what the taskmaster said. And so they come back and they said, "Pharaoh, y'all beaten us, and we can't get it all done, but listen, it's your own taskmasters that won't give us the straw. It's y'all's fault. It's not our fault." This is the ILU, I guess, is who they do, the Israelite Labor Union. They're coming and fleeing for their people, and it didn't work out. Pharaoh doesn't hear. He doesn't negotiate. He tells them here, "No, no, no, no. It's not my taskmasters that did that. That was me that did that. And so he declares to them the same demand of them that he had given to their taskmasters previously. So their proposals here are rejected, and the demand remained the same. He says in verse 17, but he said, ye are idle, ye are idle. Therefore ye say, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet shall you deliver the tale of bricks. And the officers and the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case after that it was said, ye shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task. And so they left. They're dejected. They've left the face of Pharaoh. They're going out. What are we going to do? How are we going to do this? And on their way out, they pass Moses and Aaron. Well, guess who they blame now? They were blaming their taskmasters. But now who are they going to blame? It says here in verse 20, and they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh, and they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because you've made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he had done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Moses is losing faith here. Lord, I don't understand. I did what you said to do. I came like you said for me to do. I'm here, and now since I've spoken to Pharaoh like you told me to do, we're in trouble now. People are under more pressure now to do this work. They can't get it done. I mean, they are the ones being hurt here, not Pharaoh. What's going on, Lord? Are you not going to deliver your people? And so he's already losing hope. He's already losing faith in what the Lord's going to do. But the Lord's already told him, when you go to Pharaoh, he's going to harden his heart and he's not going to let you go. He's already told him that. That there was a process that God was bringing Pharaoh through. And he hadn't finished that process yet. And so Moses is losing faith here. Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but it don't make no sense to me. Lord, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to do something different here. And so Moses brought his complaints here to the Lord. It tells us there in chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. The Lord said, when I'm done, Pharaoh's going to run you all out of Egypt. He's not just going to let you go. He's going to run you all off. He will not want you around when I'm done with it. And so with a strong hand, he's going to drive you out of this place. But he's already told them, when you go from the land, you're going to be carrying away their gold, you're going to be carrying away their garments, you're going to be carrying away everything. It's going to look like you robbed the place when you get done, because they're going to bless you with gifts upon gifts upon gifts, just so you'll get gone, to get out away from them. And so he's this is what he's already told him. And so he says, verse 2, God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. So the Lord reveals himself here to Moses, unto Aaron, as Adonai Jehovah. This is what he reveals himself. And he says to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, he had revealed himself as El Shaddai, the Almighty God. He'd revealed himself to them by that name. But here he reveals himself as Jehovah, as Lord, as Deliverer, as Provider, as the one who's going to keep the commandments that he declared he was going to keep for them. They're going to see, in other words, they're going to see the fulfillment of the character of God before them as he fulfills the covenants that he remembered that he had given to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. They're going to see his characteristics on display. They're going to see them done in their presence as they watch him perform these things that he said that he was going to do, that he's promised them that he's going to do, and bringing them into the land of Canaan, giving them this land. He's going to fulfill all of those promises that was given. Again, he said he was known to them as El Shaddai, as the Almighty God, but now they're going to see him as Jehovah, the self-existent one, the one who will provide all of these things for them and accomplish these things. The I am that I am. And he goes on to declare there in verse number 6. He says, "Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. Say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into a land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord." 7 times he says, "I will, I will, I will." Let me tell you something. All he has to say it is one time and he's going to do it. He says it 7 times here. "I will do these things," the Lord declares as he tells them. Just as I had promised them, I will do all of these things. The I am that I am says, "I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will." 7 times he declares it to them. Notice again these things he says he will do. He says, "I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians." He's going to bring them out just as you promised. That's what he's told Moses already. "I will rid you out of their bondage." You're no longer going to be, not only am I bringing you out, you're not going to be in under any bondage of them any longer. "I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments." It will be the Lord's power that brings them out, and they will see that power on display. Now sadly, as we know, even before we get over in the study of it, y'all know the reality of it, we've read it many times before. The children of Israel, though God will do this, though His power will be clearly seen, these judgments will be poured out upon Egypt to accomplish this, to bring them out of the land. They will constantly complain, they will constantly murmur, they'll constantly doubt the power of God and what He's doing here. Even at the Red Sea, they say, "Well, we better go back. He's coming to kill us. Here you brought us here between a rock and a hard place." Literally, that's what in the Hebrew, that's what the scripture says there. "You brought us here between a rock and a hard place, and we can't get across this sea here. Now what are we going to do? He's going to kill us here on the seashore. We better go back. We better go back." Constantly they would not believe. Constantly they would doubt the things. And even when the blessings of God were being poured out on them, they would complain about the blessings that He was giving. God says, I'll deliver you out with a stretched out arm and with great judgments." They will see His power as He brings it against Egypt here to deliver the children of Israel. He says in verse number 7, "I will take you to me for a people." He has chosen them for himself. He's promised them all of these promises. He will do exactly what he had promised to them, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. They are his people. He has made them such. The Lord has chosen them unto himself, and he will bless them as their God. I will take you to me, my people, he says. And I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Not only has he chosen them, they're going to know he's chosen them. They're going to know that of him. Verse number 8, it says, I'll bring you into the land concerning which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. That was the land of Canaan. That was his promise to them. The land that's flowing with milk and honey. They will declare when they get there, they'll see that. They'll bring out those grapes of Eshcol as they come sneaking back out to the people. And they'll have all of those blessings, all those wondrous things from the land there. And they'll, man, look what God has told us he's given us. Look at all this great stuff. One bunch of grapes takes two men to carry it out. You don't get those in Kroger. I mean, that's some grapes there now. One bunch of grapes, two men have carried it out. And they carry those things out, and they've got that milk, and they've got that honey, and they've got this, I mean, literally it's flowing, it's all over the land, and they're bringing this stuff out. And they're showing it to one another, look at all this. Look at all this that God said that is ours. Look at all this that God has promised to us. The only problem is there's giants in the land. God's done everything else he's told us he's going to do. He's fulfilled every promise that he said he was going to do. But then people are too big for us to mess with. Let's go back to Egypt. All but two of those spies, 12 spies sent in the land, all but two of them. Joshua. Okay. And Joshua and Caleb both said, no. Let's go now. God said it's ours. God's given us the land. He's delivered it to us. He's brought us here just like he said. This is our land. Let's go get it. The other ten said, no. We can't do that. If you two go, you'll go by yourself. We ain't going with you. And so because of their rejection, the Lord, as you know, will tell them, well, all right then, y'all just stay in the desert. After 40 years, I'll bring your children into the land. You all will die there. All except Joshua and Caleb. They're going to go in. The rest of you will stay in the desert. If you don't go when I tell you to go, you'll stay where you're at. Here God's told them, I will give it to you. It's yours. I'll bring you into the land concerning which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. And I will give it you. Listen to this. This is very important, especially in the political climate in which we've been in for many years now concerning that little piece of property there in the Middle East. I will give it you for an heritage. Guess what? God gave that to Israel. Guess who it belongs to? It still belongs to Israel. It's still theirs. He gave it to Abraham first and said, Abraham, this is yours. Y'all going to dwell in a strange country for a while. I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to put you back in that same land. It's yours. It's yours for an heritage. It remains yours. I'm going to take you out because of sin, and I'm going to bring you right back. You're going to be back in it again. It's yours. Nothing's changed on that. That deed still stands firm. It's still Israel's. In fact, God gave them a whole lot more land than they have right now. And it's all theirs. He's already promised it. He will give it all, just like He promised it. I'll give it to you for inheritance. I am the Lord. He makes all these I will statements here. And He seals it. He seals it with that statement. Who can make such promises and back them up? I am the Lord, He said. I will do it, is what He's declaring. I'm the one that's going to do this. I'm the one that's going to keep you. I'm the one that's going to bring you in the land. I'm the one that's going to give it to you for inheritance. I'm the one that's going to keep you in that land. It's me. I will do it, He's declaring. Verse 9, it says, Moses spake so unto the children of Israel. Moses said, this is what God told me. And he declares these I wills to the people of Israel. But they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. Oh, no, Moses, we ain't listening to you anymore. It's too rough. When we listen to you, we get in trouble. We listen to you, we get too burdened down. We listen to you, Pharaoh gets mad at us. We ain't listening to you no more. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, now Moses, he's shaken. He's shaken. I've done what you said. Pharaoh ignored us. Pharaoh put more burden on us. Now the people are mad at me. They don't want to follow me now. Lord, I don't know that you can do this. At least not with me. I don't see how it can be done. Behold, he says, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me? Who am I of uncircumcised lips? He goes back to his old excuses again, why he can't do it. Lord, I told you should have got somebody else. I ain't no good at this stuff. I don't know what I'm doing. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron and gave them a charge to the children of Israel and to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Then he tells the names of the children of Israel, the families that are gathered there. And just very quickly tells us who they are that's there in the land with Moses and Aaron. It says, these be the heads of their fathers' houses, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, Hanok, Palu, and Hezron, and Carmi. These be the families of Reuben, the sons of Simeon, Jemuel, and Jamin, and Ohad, and Jachin, and Zohar, and Shaul, the son of a Canaanitish woman. These are the families of Simeon, and these are the names of the sons of Levi, according to their generations, Gershon, and Kohath, and Merari, and the years of the life of Levi were 137 years, and the sons of Gershon, Libni, and Shimei, according to their families, and the sons of Kohath, Amram, and Izhar, and Hebron, and Uziel, and the years of the life of Kohath were 133 years, and the sons of Merari, Mahali, and Mushi. These are the families of Levi according to their generations. And Amram took him Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses, and the years of the life of Amram were 137 years, and the sons of Izhar, Korah, and Nepheg, and Zichri, and the sons of Uziel, Mishael, and Elzaphan, and Zithra. And Aaron took him Elisheba, daughter of Amminadab, sister of Nashon, to wife, and she bare him Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, and the sons of Korah, Asher, and Elkanah, and Abiasaph. These are the families of the Korahites. Eleazar, Aaron's son, took him one of the daughters of Putiel to wife, and she bare him Phinehas. These are the heads of the fathers of the Levites according to their families. These are that Aaron and Moses, God says here, these are that Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies. These are they which spake to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are that Moses and Aaron. Here's what God says, all right, this is all the people that are there with you. Let me tell you something, it'll be you too. It'll be Moses, it'll be Aaron. Those are the two I've chosen. There ain't no getting out of this, boys. You two, it'll be you two. You two are going to deliver them out. You two are going to bring them. You're going to go before Pharaoh. You're going to tell him these things. Y'all going to deliver them out of the land of Egypt. It'll be you two. No others. I'm not choosing anybody else. I've already declared, he said, it's you two. Moses and Aaron. These two are the ones that's going in. These two are going to speak before Pharaoh. These two are going to lead the children of Israel. Just like I said, it'll be these two. It'll be these two. These are that Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies. These are they which spake to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are that Moses and Aaron. It came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, behold, Lord, are you sure? I'm of uncircumcised lips. How shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? Lord, I know it's what you said. I know you said it would be us. I know you keep telling me that's what you're going to do, but he's not going, Lord, how's he going? He's not going to listen to me. Why are you doing this? Don't you think you'll get somebody else? And so we end chapter 6 with Moses bringing up his objections again. Lord, I can't do it. I can't do this. You're going to have to get somebody else. This is a very hard task that God has given Moses to perform. But it's a task that Moses, I think, will come to realize he has no ability. He's right. He has no ability to do it. He's 100% correct. He is incapable. But God is perfectly capable. That's the reason he keeps declaring to him, I am the Lord. Go deliver them out. I am the Lord. Go speak to Pharaoh. Tell him what's happening. I am the Lord. It'll be my outstretched arm. It'll be by my hand that this is accomplished. Go speak to Pharaoh. And I am the Lord. And he will continue over these next few chapters to encourage Moses in what he is going to do. And of course he will soften Pharaoh over these next few chapters as he brings to pass these plagues in Egypt. 10 plagues will be brought upon Egypt to deliver the children of Israel from that land. And of course, at the end of that 10th one, Pharaoh is going to say, get out, get out, get out, go, go, get out of this place. And the people of Egypt will bless them with gold and silver and garments, household items. They're going to take their mixers and their microwaves and say, get on out of here, take everything you can. God will deliver them out. And he will do so with his strong arm. And he will use Pharaoh, or use Moses and use Aaron to do exactly what he said he was going to do. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed tonight.